Very much indeed. You're on the afternoon show on 88 FM. My name is Dave Charles. And with me in the studio, Marinus Noble, who's the ops manager from IPSS Medical Rescue, and Albert Gunter is the advanced life support paramedic. And today we're going to be talking about, well, among other things, how to stay safe during the heat wave that we're experiencing. Things are set to get even hotter than they are today, if you can believe it. I mean, the temperature's probably around, I don't know, upper 20s, maybe the early 30s, but because of the humidity, it feels a lot hotter, and because of that, folk are venturing into bodies of water, many of whom find themselves in extreme difficulties, and there's no doubt you've probably been following the news over the weekend locally. Many, many incidents involving people and water, and it generally doesn't end well. So, Marinus and Albert, thanks so much for joining us on the afternoon show. I wanted to ask you to start with, possibly Marinus, it's, as ops manager, you've got an overview. The current heat wave definitely, I would imagine, is contributing to the water safety issues that you're experiencing. Absolutely, because yeah. You're out there. You've just come from a search and rescue operation or search and recovery operation. Is there an increase in drama in the water at the moment?
Over the past few weeks, yes, very much so.
Attributed directly to the heat?
Yes, absolutely. People are trying to cool down. You can't blame them, but obviously doing so in a very unsafe manner. Bodies of water that they shouldn't be swimming in.
Which would be what?
Unprotected waters, any unprotected water. And swimming alone, also not a very good idea. So swimming in your rivers where there's no lifeguards or supervision should be avoided at all times. Water's very dirty. You can't see what's under the water surface.
You know, one thinks about the joy of splashing in a body of water, and it's sort of one of those archetypal images of childhood and fun and freedom and etc. And in the movies, it always ends very well. You never get the kind of tragedies that you're experiencing now. And I suppose the vast majority of folk that use water as a recreational cool down are okay, but it doesn't have to be a huge number to start spiking. And right now, even the half dozen or so serious incidents that have happened in the past 2 weeks, many of them fatalities. It just goes to show what we're talking about is a real thing. But let's get on to the practical aspect of how best to survive the heat wave. Possibly, Albert, as an advanced life support paramedic, you're well acquainted with the signs of heat stroke and how to then recover from that, or how to avoid, in the first place, becoming overcooked.
Yes, absolutely, Dave. The first thing is for people to remember to remain hydrated. The whole reason why people suffer from heat exhaustion and leading to heat stroke is not enough fluids that they're partaking in. And then also, coupled with that, with this hot and humid environment that we're in, and strenuous activity, kids playing around, sporting activities, people working hard, construction workers on the road, not maintaining hydration, losing electrolytes through sweating. It's the prime
What
mechanism.
Are the signs to look for? Because you may not even feel thirsty, I believe, sometimes when you're really becoming dehydrated. Obviously, you might have been thirsty and then suddenly you recover from that. You don't feel thirsty anymore, but you're in trouble.
Yes, absolutely. There, some early signs are cramping of the muscles, particularly the muscles of the legs, the lower your calves, and then muscles in the abdomen will start to cramp due to electrolyte loss. And then,
so the body gives you enough advance warning. It's not doesn't come out of the blue like a heart attack.
No, it's a gradual. Depending on the extent of the dehydration, it's a fairly gradual process.
Now, I believe little kids often carry on regardless through the
correct.
And they don't even know that they're in trouble. What should parents be looking for?
Well, limit the time in the sun, on the beach, for instance. Their exposure, limit the times, get them in, get them to drink juices or water is even great enough. Get them in the shade, limit the time that they're exposed basically to the environment.
Absolutely, the hottest time of the day, that time period between 12
correct.
And 2 o'clock, you know, try and keep out of the water, out of the sun.
There used to be a kind of statute, I know that up in the Big Smoke where I come from, if the humidity got to a certain level, actually closed the schools because really you couldn't do it. I suppose it's different now with many private schools being fully air conditioned, etc. But I mean, it was that serious back in the day. I suppose nothing really changes. It's just how you approach it, and it is a real factor. And something I wanted to ask you in terms of getting back to water safety. There are certain things that people obviously shouldn't be doing, and alcohol has got a huge role to play in the disasters that we're seeing. But I, you know, even if you're quite sober, there are certain things also that I'm sure that you guys are much more aware of because you see, I mean, I get your information online all the time, and the kind of accidents that you attend to on a regular basis makes one very aware of how dangerous the highways are. Yep. But the average member of the public, just get in and drive. We're now becoming hyper aware of how dangerous big bodies of water are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And how much one needs to approach them with utmost respect, because some of the conditions that I see people getting into trouble, obviously diving into shallow water, big problem.
Yeah, no.
I mean, how do you know how deep the water is? So you go for quickly because it looks gorgeous and you've seen the movies. Problem.
And that's where you get into trouble. Correct.
Now, if someone plunges into a tidal pool, as was the case this weekend, and whacks their heads, and you're watching this happen, what should you do as a member of the public in a phone medical rescue immediately if you can, but you're the first person there. What should you do? How do you?
You know, in a situation like that, you always want to consider that the person has a spinal injury.
Well, there you go.
And so keeping the person's neck in line is obviously the first thing you want to do, and keep his head above the water. Keeping him in the water, keeping his spine in line, and waiting for the paramedics and rescue guys to arrive.
So that's it. You don't try and take them out and lie them down? None of that?
If you don't suspect a spinal injury, you can do that. But if someone's diving and they've bumped their head or hurt their neck or their back, it's better to rather just keep him in the water as straight and in line as possible and don't move him. Just keep him breathing and keep his head out of the water.
Now, a lot of folk, ordinary folk, are reluctant to get involved because, well, you know, we live in a litigious age, and if you've been involved and you've actually exacerbated the injury because you tried to help and, in fact, you then broke the spinal cord or whatever like that, is that a real thing?
Look, there's every country has a Good Samaritan Act, and if you're a normal first aider or a member of the public and you see something happening, you try and assist, the chances are that you cannot be held liable for anything. You're not a trained medical professional. You've tried to assist the person, and they can't be held liable. Obviously, people might try, but you've still got that Good Samaritan Act that's there to protect a person trying to do good.
And is that something that you encourage, the ordinary citizen getting involved initially as a sort of first port of call before you guys can arrive on the spot?
Absolutely. Even if it's just making a phone call and making us...
Fully?
Dave, I think Albert can speak on his behalf as an advanced life support paramedic, but I think it differs from person to person in the circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, is it possible, Albert, if someone's been underwater for a couple of minutes and then they're technically dead, but you managed to resuscitate, can they be brought back?
Dave, the literature mentions that warm water drownings are worse for survival than a cold body of water. So falling into icy water in winter, you've probably got a better chance of survival than in warmer water. Just because of the metabolism of the body.
So you're on ice if you're in the
correct. It's in a, yes, in a matter of speaking, okay. Yes, correct. So warm water is tricky.
And a certain amount of brain damage would occur. You might bring someone back, but they might potentially be...
Possible, yes.
Yes.
Severely impacted for the rest of their life. So it's a really serious situation. And obviously, speed is of the essence. And the most important thing is to get... there's always that golden period of time. In a drowning, I suppose, it's literally minutes.
Correct. And that's why we always... That's why we also encourage people to not swim alone. Swim in, like on the beaches. Swim at beaches that have lifeguards.
And during the time that lifeguards are active.
Absolutely.
That's also important. Look at the signs. Follow the instructions of the lifeguards and the medical officers that arrive at the scene. Do people get in the way? I'm sure they do.
So, you know, surprisingly, this season we've actually had a lot of members of the public that actually assisted us and not actually got in the way, but actually were very helpful in the situations.
An education that's been happening, no doubt, through media, etc.
And I think that's what it should be about, is about people educate themselves about the risks of these bodies of water that aren't protected, like rivers, for instance. Yeah. And just maybe educating the people on, as far as that's concerned, the safety surrounding it and what to do in those situations, which obviously would be a topic for a later discussion. But for currently, we just urge people to not swim in bodies of water that are unprotected and unsafe.
And I would imagine that in line with what we're discussing right now, if you're witness to an incident, any kind of medical emergency, you need help fast. Take down a number. We're going to give you the number right now. I hope we can remember
that. Absolutely. Yeah, if anything happens, please feel free to call us 24 hours a day, 0823-911-911, and the dispatchers will take down the details and send someone to your aid immediately. The important thing, like you said, Dave, is recognizing that there's an emergency and calling for assistance early.
Rather err on the conservative. You know, the guys might be fine, or the girls, correct, but err on the conservative. 0823. That's an easy one to remember. 0823-911-911. Give it to you again. 0823-911-911. Commit that to memory. That's the best thing. Otherwise, onto your phone on the fast dial emergency number. 0823-911-911. That's IPSS Medical Rescue, and your response time is immaculate. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate in this part of the world, by the way, to have you're in the community and you're of the community, and I hear the sirens going down that main drag towards the beach, and I can almost set my watch by. But it's very comforting to know that you're there. So my very special guest, Marinus Nubbel, is the Ops Manager from IPSS Medical Rescue, and Albert Gunter is the Advanced Life Support Paramedic in the afternoon show, or on the afternoon show this afternoon. Gentlemen, thanks so much for your participation. We look forward to the next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good day.
You're on the afternoon show. I'm Dave Charles, and these are the Kings of Leon.